Dr. B.R. Ambedkar Open University presents Education at Your Doorstep, a program of learning for everyone.
Well, listeners, we now bring you a lesson from English Foundation course. The title is Critical and Interpretative Reading.
Hello, listeners. Today we shall talk about critical and interpretative reading and see how to go about it. As you know, your course units have stressed different types of reading skills: skimming, scanning, locating information from texts, and have gone on to critical and interpretative reading. Generally, we don't read all materials with an equal degree of attention or concentration. In fact, more often than not, we do not read carefully enough and then face difficulties because we have misread or misinterpreted information. Today we'll begin by reading out to you short sentences first and then go on to a story. You must listen carefully and observe how we analyze it after critically interpreting the information given.
In India, there is nothing unusual about a train that is slow, particularly one that is making a long journey through distant states.
Notice how the writer has made use of the negative form of expression, nothing unusual about a train that is slow, to say that in India, trains are usually slow. You may have also marked that this form of sentence is more effective than a simple direct sentence about the speed of trains. Further, the sentence makes a general observation that reflects a felt opinion. We learn by implication, people would not be surprised if a train is slow in India, especially one making a long journey. As a result of the use of this structure, the writer has conveyed a lot of information to the reader. Here is another such sentence. Listen to it carefully.
History always goes forward, but sometimes history rolls backward too. That seems strange, doesn't it?
Now you may have noticed that the writer has contrasted the words forward and backward to introduce the main idea he wants to focus upon. It is the idea that history rolls backward, or that by the study of history, here he will be talking of archaeology, we can go back and collect information about ancient civilizations. Also significant is the first sentence, which states that history moves forward. The reason why we may overlook it while reading fast is that we don't generally think of the forward movement of history. The writer, therefore, deliberately juxtaposes the idea of history going forward and history rolling backwards. Now here is an extract which is quite interesting. In most humorous writing and in detective stories, we would miss the humor or the suspense if we did not read carefully, so be attentive to the detail.
Dear Colonel White, thank you for your letter. I am sorry to hear that my dog has damaged your flower bed. He usually prefers my garden. But perhaps he was leaving the bone for your dog, which I must say often looks hungry. Yours faithfully, Joseph Delman.
Did you catch the humor in this letter? The writer appears to be writing to apologize for the bad behavior of his dog. He says, I'm sorry to hear that my dog has damaged your flower bed. Immediately after writing the apology, Colonel White's neighbor, Mr. Joseph Delman, adds, he usually prefers my garden. The suggestion here is that his own garden is a much better place than his neighbor's, and that even the dog prefers it. But the last sentence is the most crucial one and needs careful reading. It goes like this. But perhaps he was leaving the bone for your dog, which I must say, often looks hungry. When we reread it to analyze and interpret it, we can understand that Mr. Tellman is deliberately being rude to his neighbor by suggesting that he does not feed his dog properly. We have seen, therefore, that by a careful reading of the letter, we can not only analyze the personal traits of both the men, but also understand that the relationship between them is not very friendly and cordial. Thus, in reading critically, we have so far spoken about the use of forceful sentences, the contrasting of ideas, and finally about implication through the use of satire. Often, what we may need to do when reading critically is to examine a text to see if the writer is A. conveying information, B. expressing an emotional state of mind, or C. persuading someone to do something. In the analysis of texts, we may also need to observe who is speaking to whom and what the relationship between them is. In reading a text, we need to see whom the writer is addressing and what his purpose is in addressing his audience. This will guide us to the use of language within the text and sometimes even help us to read between the lines to understand implied or suggested meanings. Again, an awareness of accepted patterns of behavior is sometimes necessary to understand some texts. For instance, while reading the letter of Mr. Tellman, you would be expected to know that generally neighbors do not behave in this manner. So the humor of the piece lies in our ability to interpret it carefully. Now listen to a story by Ruskin Bond. It is written in the first person, which means that the author takes up the role of the main character, I, in it.
I was alone in the compartment on the train up to Rohana, and then a girl got on. As I was blind, I could not see what the girl looked like, yet I knew she wore slippers from the way she walked. I liked the sound of her voice. "Are you going all the way to Dehradun?" I asked her as the train started. I must have been sitting in a dark corner because my voice seemed to surprise her.
"I didn't know someone else was here,"
she said. "Well, it often happens that people with very good eyesight fail to see what is right in front of them. They have too much to see, I suppose." "I didn't see you either at first," I said, "but I heard you come in." I wanted to stop her from finding out that I couldn't see. I thought if I keep to my seat, it shouldn't be too difficult.
"I'm getting down at Saharanpur,"
the girl said.
"My aunt is meeting me there. Where are you going?"
"To Dehradun and then to Mussoorie," I replied.
"Oh, lucky you. I wish I were going to Mussoorie. I love the mountains, especially in October."
"Yes, this is the best time," I said. Then I made a mistake. "What is it like outside?" I asked. She seemed to find nothing strange in the question. Had she noticed already that I could not see? But her next question removed my doubts.
"Why didn't you look out of the window?"
she asked quite naturally. I moved quite easily to the open window and pretended to see the scenery. "Have you noticed that the trees seem to be moving while we seem to be standing still?"
"That always happens,"
she said. I turned from the window and faced the girl and for a while sat in silence. "You have an interesting face," I said.
"It's nice to be told that. I'm so tired of people telling me that I have a pretty face."
"Oh, so you do have a pretty face," thought I. "We'll soon be at your station," I said rather suddenly. As soon as she left the train, she would forget our short meeting, but it would stay with me for the rest of the journey and sometime after. The engine's whistle shrieked. The girl got up to collect her things. I wondered if she wore her hair in a bun or if it was cut very short. The train came slowly into the station.
"Goodbye,"
said the girl. I found the window and sat in front of it, looking into the daylight that was darkness for me. Once again, I had a game to play. and a new fellow traveler.
Oh,
he said, trying to make conversation.
I'm sorry. I am not as pretty a traveling companion as the one who just left.
She was an interesting girl, I said. Can you tell me, did she keep her hair long or short?
I don't remember,
he replied.
It was her eyes I noticed, not her hair. She had such beautiful eyes, but they were of no use to her. She was completely blind. Didn't you notice?
Did you like the story? Now let's see if you noticed that there were three characters in it. The storyteller, who is blind, the girl, and the other traveler who boards the train when the girl gets down. We observe also that the writer is trying to convey his emotions or his state of mind through the story. It describes in a very sensitive manner the feelings and thoughts of a blind man. It is only in the last sentence that we are told that the girl is also blind. So when they are talking to each other, neither person knows that the other is also blind and cannot see. The writer says, "I made a mistake," because he is pretending that he can see. Then why should he ask her what is it like outside? The girl too does not reveal that she cannot see anything. Her answers are vague. That always happens. And why don't you look out of the window? She says. They show that she is not prepared to disclose to her fellow traveler her disability and also act as clues to the final statement of the author about her. If we've read the story critically, we'd have noticed that the first time he speaks to her, she has not noticed him, and he presumes it is because most people do not notice things as sharply as blind persons like him, who can even guess from the sound of slippers that the girl has entered the compartment. Now that we have discussed how you can critically interpret stories, you should be able to read and assess other types of materials, such as the statements made by politicians or even advertisements that claim to be selling the best products. We hope you will put this skill to good use and sharpen your interpretative abilities. Goodbye till we meet again.
Critical and interpretative reading. That was the lesson brought to you from English Foundation course. Please stand by for the next announcement.
Education at your doorstep. That was a program of learning for everyone. Brought to you by Dr. B.R. Ambedkar Open University. So listeners, it's bye till our next radio lesson.